This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Well, salam wise, how you doing, bro? Good? Alhamdulillah. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us His love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of the actions that will gain His love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of the people that He loves. Ameen. Ameen. And most of all, those that He loved, we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the beloved of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Habib of Allah. And so if we have His love in our hearts, then subhanAllah, one of the scholars, based on this hadith, Umar ibn Khattab, one day, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everything. I love you more than everything besides myself. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, not yet, O Umar. Like, you're not there yet. You haven't reached yet, O Umar. And they say that in that moment, Umar ibn Khattab, he sat for a moment and then he looked down. And then a few moments later, he looked up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, now in this moment, I love you more than my own self. The scholar, and then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and he said, Al-an ya Umar, al-an, like now you made it, now you're there. And subhanAllah, what's so amazing is as your yaqeen or certainty about the akhirah, the hereafter, increases, the more you realize how much you've gotten through the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more you have yaqeen, and that's why the Rasul, he said in a beautiful narration, La yu'minu ahadukum. None of you truly believes until you love me more than you love your father, your son, wa nasu ajma'in. And subhanAllah, the scholars, they highlight that the beauty is when you realize how much you got through him, when you realize what the akhirah is, when you realize all of the things in this dunya and the akhirah that were given through us through the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is where people don't understand. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah. Like, if you don't know how to be grateful to people, you won't know how to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if this was the means by which Allah chose you, selected you, guided you, gave you levels in Jannah, how stingy and how ungrateful are we if we don't realize how much we should truly love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's crazy about the hadith where he said, even more than my own self, is subhanAllah, your nafs calls you to the things that will destroy you. And Rasulullah ﷺ is calling you to the things that will save you. Your nafs is calling you to everything, every type of fahisha, every type of indecency, laziness, addictions, all of this. Your nafs is calling you to scroll constantly. Rasulullah ﷺ is calling you to that which will free you. And so what Umar radiallahu anh realized in that moment is that if he truly loved his soul, then it behooves him to love the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose existence was the means by which his soul gained salvation. So what are we doing? We're studying the early years of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And we are now in the first 3 years of his life, the first 3 years of Nubuwwah. From the moment when Gabriel came and gave him the message. After the first revelation, the next messages are Surah Muzammil. And Surah Muzammil is all about Qiyamul Layl, praying at nighttime. And the message there, it's right there in the middle of the surah.
after it talks about the virtues of praying at night, prayer at night is special. No one's around. It's that intimate moment between you and Allah where no one sees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا, that we need you to get ready. And in order to get ready for this message, we need you to stand at night. And here's the deal. Because life is going to have trials. I just met a brother. He was like, yo, I'm struggling. I was like, join the club. You know how many brothers messaged me this week? We're like, yo, we're struggling. I was like, bro, I feel you. Post Ramadan and grind, yo. Be hard. I'm struggling. But the idea is, we don't want a life without struggles. We want a life with meaningful struggles. That's the point. You know, there's no life without struggles. The one who chases a life without struggles finds himself addicted to every type of thing. But the one who realizes that there's inherent struggle in life, but what I need to get through that, to storm the weather, is I need that deep, intimate relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before I go forward, the only reason we didn't have halakha last week, maybe some of you saw on social media, maybe some of y'all are pious and ain't got social media, mashallah. I don't encourage it. If you ain't on it, don't get on it. But a close friend and sheikh of mine, Sheikh Tamar, about 12 years ago, and I'm going to get right to the seerah, I promise you, but there's lessons in every moment for us. Close friend of mine, when I first converted, 22 years ago, he saw me in the masjid one day, trying to fit in, you know, bro with the Muslims. And he saw me and he kept seeing me in the masjid. I ain't tell a lot of people this story, yo. So he says to me one day, he's like, yo, why don't you go study the deen? I'm a new Muslim, just converted 3 months ago. Every new Muslim's dream is study the deen. That's it, like subhanAllah. Long story short, he guides me to a place where I can study. I give an application. I'm hyped up. I go in the room. I see all these kids reading Quran and all these books written, some ancient script. You know what I mean? When you're a convert, everything looks, mashallah. And then, subhanAllah, there was tuition. Every school has tuition. But I'm broke right out of high school. What am I going to pay? His mother comes and says, I'll pay your tuition. Wallahi, this woman for the next 10 years paid for all my education. Whenever I meet Tamer, I say to her, I say, Tamer, how can I beat you in Jannah? Because everything I do, you get. And she just smiles like, yeah, you know, I know how to invest. She's like, I know how to invest. She don't even deny it. She don't even deny it. She's like, yep, you're right. Good investment, you know. So Sheikh Tamer, 12 years ago, they went to Morocco and they adopted a young boy. His name was Ilyas. No last name. They don't know his parents. So he named him Ilyas Islam. It's Ilyas Islam. And Ilyas, mashallah, he grew up Nabata and Hasana. He loved to wrestle. I have a video of his last wrestling match. He loved to read Quran. They say he didn't like Hifz class, but he liked to read Quran. Like they would just catch him in the masjid, just blowing it, like, reciting. Well, about 2 weeks ago, a few days before the halakha, was Wednesday, so this was Monday. So like on Saturday, he got an eye infection. He was totally fine. Right after Ramadan, he just told his dad, they were going to take him to Morocco to visit. He told his dad, he said, Baba, I don't want to go to Morocco. I want to go to Medina again. I miss Medina. On Monday, he passed away. Eye infection spread to his brain and he passed away. And wallahi, I went right away. It's the only reason we didn't have halakha last week. I went right away. And I was with Sheikh Tamer. I'd known this man for 20 years of my life. 22 years of my life. And wallahi, he smiled and he cried and he smiled and he cried. But he said something so powerful. He sat there and he spoke to the whole group of people in the masjid and he said, wallahi, I'm happy with God's decree. He said, wallahi, I'm happy with God, but it just hurts inside. But in that moment, here's what I learned. You can be shaken, but still not broken. And that's what a connection to Allah does. It allows you in this world to be shaken. Life will shake you up. But it doesn't mean you have to break with the calamities. And what I saw in Ismail, what I saw in Sheikh Tamer, is people that were shaken but not broken. And they just kept saying, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So these early years of the Prophet's mission, right after revelation comes, because the task at hand for the next 20 years is going to be one that's heavy, it's weighty. The first orders given to the Prophet are stand at night, because the prayer at nighttime, moments with solitude with Allah, are what give you that anchor so that when the waves are blowing, you stay settled. I'm not saying it's not going to get hard. It will get hard. But you won't be broken by the calamities because your connection with Allah is so tight and strong. So the Prophet ﷺ is giving dawah, and the numbers are growing. The Prophet ﷺ's close family, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ali, the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, everyone right around him, because they saw his beauty in every moment, they accept it right away. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he goes to someone very special, who Allah selected to be with him. They say the same way Allah chooses anbiya, Allah chooses the people that are around the anbiya. It's not a coincidence that Abu Bakr is where he is. He was selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah saw something in his ruh that made him befitted to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls Abu Bakr a siddiq. And he says about Abu Bakr that the only person that didn't stutter, didn't like hesitate. Sorry. The only person that didn't hesitate for a moment, the only one, when I gave him dawah, was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Now you can leave Khadija out, because Khadija was, radiallahu, waiting for Nabuwa anyway. She's like, it's supposed to come now, right? Like, I knew you were a prophet, it was just coming. When was it coming? But from those who he called and gave the message to, no hesitation, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. What does Abu Bakr as-Siddiq do? Amazing. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he knows people. He's a businessman. He interacts with all of Quraysh. He knows people so closely. He immediately starts going to people who he knew would accept positively. And slowly but surely, Uthman bin Affan, all of these on the hand of Abu Bakr, Zubair bin Awam, Abdurrahman bin Auf, When we go through this seerah, you'll realize how great these people were. But the gateway for them to get in was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq calling them. That's why I'm saying you have to remain grateful to the people that Allah chooses to bless you through. You have to remain grateful to the people that Allah chooses. You can't say, well, Allah would have gave it to me anyway. Why do I have to thank you? Because the Prophet taught you, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكَرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكَرِ اللَّهِ. If you don't have the capacity to be grateful to people in the means by which you're blessed, in reality, that's showing ingratitude to God. Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, Talha bin Ubaidullah, all of these great people. So Islam is spreading. Islam is spreading, but it's not public. The Prophet ﷺ is walking up to individual people who he trusts, and he's giving them dawah. He's like, I want you to know this message. And people are responding. But who's responding first? The poor and the slaves. The message of dawah, like 15 years from this moment, Abu Sufyan, who hasn't accepted Islam yet, he's going to be standing in front of the leader of the Byzantine Empire, Heraclius. And when he's standing in front of him, he asks a question to Abu Sufyan. He says, what demographic are the majority of the people that accept his message? Are they the wealthy people, influential people? Abu Sufyan, he can't lie because of the setup of the room. He says, no, they're mostly poor people. And the message, the response by this emperor is, that's a sign of a prophet. The lower people in society are the ones who don't have the arrogance in their heart. They see the message. And when they see truth, they jump on it. They jump on it. They take it. It was the simplicity of this message. It was the oneness of God. The Prophet ﷺ was saying, give up these idols and just focus on God. And he was speaking about the social injustices going on, the oppression. We know this because when Jafar goes to Habsha and the king, Najashi, asks him, what's the message? What'd you change your religion for? He says, we were messed up people. We oppressed people. We didn't honor the families. We didn't honor Allah. We didn't take care of neighbors until God gave us a prophet to follow. And that prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us to honor the family members. Wallahi, there was one message, Sheikh Tamer. He said, Ilyas used to listen to every Wednesday, yo. He said he loved every Wednesday halakha. Sheikh Tamer said one message, love your loved ones dearly. Don't take people for granted, y'all. Life is too short to be petty. Life is too short to be petty, y'all. Hold your loved ones close. Love them as if it's their last day because it might be. It might be. So when they asked Jafar, Najashi says, why'd you change your religion? He says, yo, you don't know. We were messed up people. We didn't care what we ate. We didn't care for our neighbors. The powerful consumed the wealth of the poor. And then Allah blessed us and just changed everything for us. So now the message is spreading. But I need you to understand how it's spreading. There's no billboards. There's no public message. It's spreading by individual word of mouth. But everyone is kind of low-key scared to publicly say it. Because they know there's going to be repercussions to that message. So within the first 3 years, there's 40 strong Muslims. 40 of us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, keep it low key. And this is so important for me and you. Because in your journey, you have to understand, in the journey of Islam's growth, there was a moment when it was quiet and individual. Your growth may have to be the same way too. Your growth may have to be the same exact way. It was quiet. Keep it low. You don't have to tell everyone. You don't have to announce your changes. You can make them slow and keep them to yourself. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose and tell the Prophet to have this quiet phase? So that we could get stronger. So that we can grow. So what would they do? The Prophet ﷺ set up study groups. Study groups. All right, you got this guy. You got that guy. Sa'id bin Zayd is married to Umar ibn Khattab's sister. And Khabbab is their study guide. He's in the house one day low-key like, yo, a new surah dropped. I got you. Got it on the manuscripts, right? Whatever they can write it on. And he's in the house and he's teaching them. I'm fast forwarding, but I want you to understand how the study groups worked. See, like the halakha is great, but sometimes, and what I needed in my first year of Islam was an individual teacher. Someone that would just sit there with me and talk to me about what I was going through. So Rasulullah ﷺ split everyone up. Sa'id bin Zayd and Umar ibn Khattab's sister, Fatima. They're in the house, and Khabbab comes with the new surahs. Yo, keep it low, but there's a new surah. What's the surah? It's called Taha. Ooh, Taha. See, we take it for granted. But the Sahaba, it was like, oh, okay. Recite it. And he's teaching it to them. Taha. He's reciting it. Beautiful. And everyone's like, and Omar comes and knocks at the door. And to be continued, we'll finish it next time. Because it's going to come. But my point where there's these small groups. And the deen was, again, individual and secret. It was so secret that later people would say, yo, I was the 14th person to accept Islam. And other people were like, bruh, you were like 25. But they didn't know because it was low key. Everyone kept it to themselves. So what happened in this time? Surahs start to come quickly. But they're small surahs. And some scholars don't even like the word small surahs. Because what's small of the kalam of Allah? Where's small at? But when we talk about the smaller surahs, Subhanallah, they all focus on one thing primarily. Social reform, clean your heart, and a strong belief in the Akhirah. That's the main message in Mecca. And that's the main message for us who are beginning our journey back to Allah. As I said, the more your sincere certainty in the Akhirah hereafter becomes real, the more you love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that's what gives life to your deen. For many of us, the Akhirah is just, you know, subhanAllah, I was with Sheikh Abdul Rahman, from Detroit this weekend, and we were just talking about Akhirah, and it's not, all my gatherings don't be like this. This happened to be like that, all right? Like, I ain't just talking to Akhirah to everybody, right? It just happened to, right? So Sheikh Abdul Rahman, we were talking about death and something, and he said something deep. He was like, there was this brother that converted, right? And he's kind of from the streets. They're from Detroit. He's kind of from the streets, right? And he had served the masjid for a long time. He was doing great work. And a close friend of theirs who was also a part of the masjid passed away suddenly. And the young man who had converted, he said something that stuck with Mufti Abdul Rahman. And he shared it with me. When that man passed away, the young guy who had converted, he said something deep. And it's different because the vernacular language, but the Bedouin spoke so clear and clean. He said, Jannah just got personal. Meaning, I got somebody there I'm waiting to meet. This whole game changed now. There's a Habibi that I used to pray with that's in Jannah now. Hadi, Allahu Akbar. Jannah just got personal. And I know we would be like, that sounds weird, but if you listen to the heart and not the words, you get what it means. So the early surahs were all about Akhirah, Akhirah, Akhirah. And Shaykha Samira Zayed, she says, what happened is these new Muslims, these 40 Muslims, begin to walk around on earth, but hearts in heaven. They are walking in a whole different world, and I kid you not. When your heart becomes connected to the Akhirah, your body's here, but your mind and heart are with the Prophet and Allah and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what happens? The Akhirah becomes real for them. And the Akhirah has to become real because the moments of sacrifice are about to come. And you won't be able to sacrifice until you have firm certainty that Jannah is real and hellfire is real. So what are the surahs revealed? وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا. Beautiful. What's the climax point of وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. You're successful if you clean this heart out. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا is revealed. All about the day of judgment. How heavy are your deeds? أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثِرُ. These surahs are coming now. But they're all focused on the Akhirah. Moment something happens. He created the buddy system. And I said, why do we need to know this? We need to know about this buddy system for converts, yes, but there's something else I want to make us woke to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna deen bada'a gharib. The deen started very strange. 40 people, misfits, kind of weird. What are y'all doing? Bowing down and stuff. Inna deen bada'a gharib. Wa sayaudu kama bada'a. The Prophet ﷺ says, and there'll come a day when it becomes strange again. But then he said, Fatuba lil ghuraba. Glad tidings to the strangers. Glad tidings to the strangers, yo. You don't want to fit into a profligate society. You don't want to be normal in a society that's filled with sin. Nah, I'm different. I'm a little different, yo. Rasulullah ﷺ, he taught us that when that time comes and the deen is strange again, he taught us how to preserve the deen. Buddy system, yo. Just meet up low key. Where are you at? I'll teach you a new surah, yo. I can't let my mom know. Don't worry, I got you. Don't worry. Something happened. Sa'd bin Abi Waqas. One day, him and a group of few Muslims, they go out into a valley. into a valley, they want to pray outside, you know, get some fresh air. So they go out to the valley. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is teaching some of the converts how to pray. And they're praying salah. And as they're praying salah, the narration says, إِذَا بِجَمَاعَةٍ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ يَظْهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَهُمْ يُسَلُّونَ. They're praying salah. And a group of young Quraysh start coming in that direction. You know, youngsters, man, making noise, coming down the street. You can imagine the picture. And here these Muslims are praying. فَلَمْ يَتْرُكُوهُمَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. The Mushrikeen, the Qurayshi boys, they start to mess with the Muslims. Because here's what you got to understand. I truly want you to connect to this. Word was spreading because these 40 Muslims were parts of people's families. So word was spreading like, yo, I heard there's this new, like, you hear this new club they're a part of? You know, they're doing some weird prayers. They're reading this weird stuff. And because there were so few, everyone was like, yeah, who cares? It's a fade. It'll come and go. So they see these Muslims praying, and a brawl breaks out. And somebody hits Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, and he falls on the ground. And he picks up a bone of a camel that had died. He was just found whatever his hand could reach for. And he picks it up, and he hits the guy. And the guy starts bleeding, and they run off. This is documented in the Islamic history of the first drop of blood shed in the path of God. Now, a lot of y'all are like, okay, yeah, fun fact, cool. But you, subhanAllah, I remember in high school, like, what's the shot heard around the world? Look at the Lexington guy, dang, bro. My man paid attention in social studies. Subhanallah, when we study history, when we study American history, we know these things. My man, dang, that was good, bro. Paul Revere, all that, right? But when it comes to Islamic history, we're kind of just got these vague understandings of things. So this in this valley, when these Muslims were praying, and a group of hooligans came messing with them, and Sa'd says, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to fight back in this moment. And he picks whatever he could find, and he hits them. And blood shed. In that moment, that was heavy. Now, that scared the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came back, can imagine out of breath, you know, I don't know, like you out of breath, hearts trembling. They run back to the Prophet, it just went down. What went down? Oh, we had a beef. No, for real. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he found out, he said, iltizim al-buyut. He said, that's it. Everyone stay home. Stay home, we're not ready yet. Now I want you to understand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most courageous of people. When it's time to show bravery, there's no one that outmatches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why they say, if you want to love him, what is there in him not to love? If you love gentleness, you love him. If you love bravery, you love him. If you love compassion, you love him. What quality do you love that anyone in this world has except that it's perfected in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know bravery? One day in Medina, they heard this loud noise outside of Medina. But you got to understand, Medina was always under attack. At any moment, something could happen. So they heard this loud noise outside of Medina. And it's in the middle of the night. It's not street lights or nothing. It's dark. So all the men start to gather like, yo, who's going to go check it out? Yo, you go. You know what I mean? And in that moment, as they're still discussing who's going to go check it out, the Prophet rides back in, meaning he already dipped. He didn't even wait for people. And he says, Lan tara'u, lan tara'u. And it wasn't his horse. He just jumped on the first horse. And he's like, whoever's horse is, this is fast. And he was bareback on the horse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful. They're still deciding. He's like, I'm already back. It's all good. Nothing happened out there. So what I want you to understand is, as the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes this path of patience and take everything. Remember, this is a man that's being forced to hold himself back. When Allah says, go ahead. you see what bravery and courage he has within him. So Rasul Sallallahu, he got very worried at this moment. It's not time yet. I haven't been told to go public. I don't want y'all going through persecution on my behalf. I want you to stay safe. So he told everyone, we need a place to hide out in. And I want you to realize in this moment that you have to use whatever resource you have to help the deen. There was two young boys, Arqam bin Arqam and his brother. They had inherited a house. And just so you understand, this house is right where Safa is right now. When you do Safa and Marwa, and you go up Safa a little bit, some of y'all be going all around. You ain't got to go all around. Just go up. Right on Safa, where we do Tawaf at, and you go up, right there, that's where his house was. He had a house. The Muslims would, in the middle of the night, when everything calmed down, in groups of two, three, they would go through the alleyways and then come into his house. Dar al-Arqam becomes the place of education. It becomes the place of learning. It becomes the place where, if you're a Muslim and you don't have nobody else, sometimes you come to just to see a believer, yo. Those of us that were in households where there's no Islam, you just be coming to say salamu alaikum. You just come to the masjid just so I can say salam to somebody. Be around Muslims, hear something good. So Dar al-Arqam became that place. What place? The place where people could come together. The Prophet ﷺ says, everyone stay home until everything calms down. 3 years passed like this, and there's only 40 Muslims. And something great happens. A moment happens. Progress should be gradual, but you gotta keep progressing. That's my next message as we read this. The deen is all about slow steps, increments. That's what we're learning right now. But don't get stuck. Keep moving forward. Move slow, but move forward. Keep growing in your faith. So just as 3 years and we're getting comfortable with the low-key message, everybody's getting comfortable sneaking into Dar al-Arqam, everybody's getting comfortable with their study buddy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, 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 this has to progress. And two verses are revealed. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and warn your close family members. Another verse is revealed. فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَقْفِذْ جَنَاهَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ The word fasda in Arabic, if you read the English translation, it says proclaim. But the word fasda actually means when you like shatter glass. And the idea was that this message, We had to rip the band-aid off. There was no easy way to bring La ilaha illallah to society except to bring it. Yes, we stayed quiet as long as we could. But there was a moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi, it's time to take the message out. This was big. The verse, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ That verse is in Surah Shu'ara. It's in a surah that is surrounded by the story of Moses. That's heavy. Because if you have a job to do, and this is what we all have to understand, even he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, needed an example to follow for inspiration. Like the whole surah is about Musa alayhi salam saying like, how can I bring this message to Pharaoh? How am I going to do this against the odds? How am I going to... But over and over in the surah, he sees the help of God helping Moses. And so the lesson for me and you is that in this surah, it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh Muhammad, you can do this too. Just look at the ones who walked this path before you. And I'm saying that to me and you because... You know, Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, he says something deep. He says, if you want to make a change in yourself, look at the righteous people. Now, this doesn't fit for some of us. Some of us are converts, but the message is still beautiful. He says, look into your family, your the city you're from, the country you're from, and look for the righteous people from your peeps. Why? Because you can gain inspiration from that, from you, from people from you. I'll kid you not. Every like 6 months, I got to pick up Malcolm X's book. I'm feeling that. I'm like, come on, El Hajj, let's read, bro. You did it, I could do it too. The story of Moses is telling the prophet, so I said to him, you're not alone, oh my beloved. You're not the first to walk this path. And why am I saying that to you? Because you're walking on campus with a scarf on. You're walking in class with a whatever. Because you're praying in public. I don't know what you're doing. You're repping the deen. And what you feel is that you're alone. And the first thing you got to realize is you're not alone. صراط الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. This is the path of the truthful, the righteous, the awliya, the friends of God. And then Allah says at the end, وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Those are the best people to roll with. That's my translation. But that's what it means. That's the best company right there. You're not alone on the path. Shaitan wants you to feel alone. So this surah, the Prophet ﷺ gets the command, it's time to take the message out. Now before I go forward, you have to connect to his heart. What I mean by connect is understand his heart. You understand what he was going through psychologically inside. The narration is beautiful. The narration says, this is narrated by Ja'far bin Abdullah. When the verse was revealed, Ya Rasulullah, warn your family. Now the Prophet knows, I got to take it public. Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, had 10 sons. That means the Prophet's family is big. And Allah is commanding him, give them dawah. The narration says, when he got this revelation, it was very hard on him. وَضَاقَ بِهِ ذَرْعًا And he was very worried. He was stressed. The narration says, فَمَكَثَ شَهْرًا He waited 1 month. جَالِسًا فِي بَيْتِهِ Sitting in his home, how am I going to do this? How am I going to call them? What's the best method? What I want you to understand is, this was a man that was by nature shy. He had to overcome that in order to do what God wanted him to do. Like a lot of us think like he just had all these things in him, he was ready. La, Rasulullah was an extremely shy person. But when the command of God comes, and I truly believe in the hereafter, it's the mujahid, the jihad of overcoming the nafs. So he sits in his home for a month. And thinking, what am I going to do? Some of the other Muslims came. Ya Rasulullah, what's wrong? We see you're not doing your normal movement. And he told them, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amarani. He's commanded me to tell all of my family. Up till now, for 3 years, he's never given dawah to the family publicly. Rumors are spreading. People are saying, yo, we heard your nephew Muhammad talking about some stuff. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's never been a public moment. What happens? The narration is beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's worried about Abu Lahab. He has this one uncle that's really against him. He's heard the rumors. He sees the potential of this message to mess up their economic well-being. He sees it going against tradition. And this is the hard part for many of us, because becoming a practicing Muslim sometimes means going against the family sometimes, yo. Mutatawwa? Oh, now you all pious now? Oh, okay. Cool. So the Muslims, they say, all right, call everyone, but don't call Abu Lahab. The Prophet ﷺ is like, that's a great idea. Let's do it. He tells Ali, because Ali is his young son-like, right? He says, Ali, go slaughter a goat, go purchase the leg of a lamb and purchase some milk and call my uncles. Call all my uncles over and aunts, because Safiya was there. About 45 people gather in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The narration is beautiful. I'm going to read the narration to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathers everyone in the home. Wasara ilayhi Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab didn't get an invite, but he still pulled up. Fahadaru. Everyone came. And everyone came from the family, Banu Hashim, Banu Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a job to do. It's difficult for him, but he has a job to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has the food served. And Ali, he tells us, he's like, I'm serving the food. And when I bought the food, I thought, 45 people? I bought enough for one person. The Prophet said, don't worry. Don't worry. And they began to serve the food. And Ali says, wallahi, I saw man after man eat to his full. But wallahi, by the time everyone finished eating, the food was just as it was before. He says, I saw the miracle of the Prophet in my face. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, bring the milk. They brought the milk and Ali says, this is milk for one person. The Prophet says, Bismillah, share the milk. And one by one, he gives the cup to each person and they drink and they drink and they drink. Ali's the last person. I'm not going to get anything to drink. He says it was as if no one touched it. In that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stands up. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yuridu an yatakallam. He's about to speak. And Abu Lahab jumps up. Man, let's dip. Whatever he's about to say, we don't want to hear it. We're not here for that right now. We came to eat. We don't have anything to do with this new trend you started. We don't want anything to do with it. And the moment he said that, the rest of the uncles got up and they left. The Prophet ﷺ felt like I failed. I didn't get my job done. 2-3 days pass. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells Ali, call everyone back again. Call everyone, even if Abu Lahab comes, call them all. And they all come back. And now as they're eating, I'm not going to wait till you finish this time. As they're eating, and I want you to listen, because what I'm about to say is something you've heard before, but in the Islamic history, it's the first time it's being said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stands up, and what does he say? Alhamdulillah. أحمده وأستعينه وأؤمن به وأتوكل عليه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا The words we hear all the time. I praise Allah. I glorify Allah. I ask Allah for help. I believe in Allah. And I trust in Allah. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah and He has no partners. Now listen to his first speech. First moment. Giving da'wah to me and you. He says, Inna ra'il la yakdhib ahla. He says, the one sent ahead doesn't lie to his people. The ra'il is someone you send ahead of the army to check things out. And comes back and says, yeah, it's all good. Let's keep going. So he says, I'm like somebody that's been sent ahead. I'm here. I saw what's in the akhirah. I know what's ahead of y'all in the grave. I know what's coming. I know it already. I'm just telling you what's ahead of you. And that's our reality. What's in front of you? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going? Where are you going? He says, let's listen to his speech. The one sent ahead doesn't lie to his people. Wallahi, I swear by God, لَوْ كَذَّبْتُ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا If I was to lie to all people, مَا كَذَّبْتُكُمْ I would never lie to y'all. وَلَوْ غَرَّتِ النَّاسِ مَا غَرَّتُكُمْ If I was to trick everyone, I wouldn't trick you. وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ I swear by God. And imagine these words. إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ خَاسَةً وَإِلَى النَّاسِ كَافَةً He says, I swear by one Allah that I am a prophet of God sent to you specifically, but also to all of humanity. Wallahi, listen to this first khutbah, y'all. Wallahi latamutunna kama tanamu. Wallahi, you're going to die the same way you go to sleep every night. Walatuba'athunna kama tastayqidhuna. And you will be resurrected the same way you wake up in the morning. Walatuhasabanna bima ta'malun. And you will be judged for what you did in your life. وَلَتُجْزَوُنَّ بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِحْسَانًا And you will be rewarded for the good with good and the evil with evil. And at that point, وَإِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدًا أَوْ لَنَارٌ أَبَدًا And it will be either paradise for eternity or the hellfire for eternity. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَأَوَّلُ مَنْ أَنْذَرِ You're the first ones I'm warning. You know what's so beautiful? The message starts at home. The message starts at home, y'all. Spend time. First of all, if you have Muslim family members, say Alhamdulillah. I don't care how pious they are, how much they pray, don't pray, cover, don't cover. I don't care. You got la ilaha illallah? Because wallahi, what I would give to have my family say, La ilaha illallah. Wallahi, that's so special. May Allah guide our families.
Amen.
May Allah guide our families.
Amen.
May Allah guide our families. Amen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Mathali wa mathalukum ka mathalu rajulin ra'a adu. He says, my example to us is like a man who saw the enemy already, who ran back to warn his family. He's like, I'm just here to warn y'all what I saw already. Qala Abu Talib. So in this moment, there's silence. He says, will anyone support me? First thing he's calling is to believe in me. Okay, no one wants to believe. Okay, will you support me? The room is pin drop silence. Hamza is quiet. Abbas is quiet. Abu Talib is quiet. No one's saying anything. And you know what the silence breaker is? Young boy, 10 years old, Ali. He says, I'll support you, Ya Rasulullah. I'll support you. The uncles start laughing. Oh, you got your support there, Muhammad. He'll help you conquer the world. He'll help you. But it's a beautiful moment. In that moment, Abu Talib gets up. And he says, I'll protect you. Do what you gotta do. I can't give up the way of my forefathers. But I won't let anyone bother you. Because right before that, Abu Lahab, he said, I told y'all. We should grab this man up before anybody else because he's our family members. We should grab him. And Abu Talib, he goes, no, don't touch him. My father said there will be a special state for this boy. And in that moment, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everyone got up and they left the room. He gave dawah to everyone. He ripped the Band-Aid off. And there was another verse that was revealed at that time too, which was, if you start at home, and before I go to the next verse, I just want us to understand the value of family and that your dawah and your kindness and your goodness, all the goodness you have, let the most of that be used on your family. A lot of us give our goodness to the world and the rest to the family. La, let your goodness be for them. The responsibility starts with them. Rasulullah was told first before you can give the message to anyone else. And subhanAllah, look at the stage. First he called Khadija, close family. Ali, close. Then 3 years later, he calls his uncles. They didn't respond positively. They didn't know what to think. And now the next stage. This narration is found in all the books of hadith. And we'll probably end with this one. It's a powerful moment. Abu Huraira narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received the revelation of warning the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this shy, beautiful man who 3 years ago was saying, are they going to kick me out of the city? They love me. this man who everyone knows as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the one who, if you need to give something and you need to protect it, you give it to him because he will never, never betray you. He climbs Mount Safa. He stands at the top of Mount Safa and he yells the alarm of war. This message is serious. He pulls the fire alarm. He yells the call for war. Ya Sabaha, ya Sabaha. Everyone's like, what's going on? They all collect themselves at the bottom of the mountain. And not only that, he starts naming families. Ya Abdul Muttalib, Ya Abdul Bani Hashim, calling one by one. The whole city comes, a city of 20,000, 15,000 people. They all start. And the ones who couldn't come, came, they send someone. Go figure out what's going on over there. Muhammad is calling everyone. They gather at the foot of the mountain. Imagine what the Prophet is going through, alayhi salatu wassalam. And at the top of the mountain, as everyone gathers, فَجَعَلَ الرَّجُلُ, everyone started to come one by one. Abu Lahab, his uncle, came, of course, and everyone else. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says some powerful words we should really reflect on. He says, إِنْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْلًا تَخْرُجُ, if I told you that there was an army behind the other side of this mountain. See, what you have to understand is the word Nabi means to be elevated. Elevated, on top, meaning vantage point others aren't privy to. A Nabi, literally, Naba'a, it means when something is elevated. I see what you don't see. The only thing here is whether you trust me or not. But everyone knows for the last 40 years of his life, there's never been a man so trustworthy as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said it. Building the Kaaba. Sadiq Amin. Standing at the top. He says, if I told you there were enemy on the other side of this mountain, would you believe me? They said, ما جربنا عليك كذبًا. We've never heard you lie in your life. And in that moment, once they've admitted that, he says, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, save yourself from the fire. فَإِنِّي لَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْعًا, I won't be able to save you. I won't be able to save you. He calls tribe by tribe and he says, I won't be able to save you. I won't be able to save you. Save yourself from the fire. Save yourself from the fire. فَإِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْعًا, it's whether you believe in Allah or not, I can't help you unless you believe and want to help yourself. And in that moment, Abu Lahab, everyone's quiet. There's a moment when the truth comes to you and you're there to reflect on it and someone has to throw it off a little bit. You know, everyone's thinking it's really deep and someone's like, let me just break all this up. So Abu Lahab yells, Tabban lak, destruction to you. Is this why you gathered us to hear? To talk about this heaven and this hereafter, what matters is this life. It's no other life, it's this life. Is this why you gathered us? We were busy at work. And when Abu Lahab says that, everyone starts to disperse. But the message got out. It hit the hearts. The seed was planted. And this is how the message becomes public to the people. So, beautiful beginning of the revelation. And from this point on, things change. Because now it's no longer... What time is my birthday? Okay. 8 minutes, okay. From next week, we go through a difficult moment in the Prophet's mission where now anyone who's known as a Muslim who doesn't have backing goes through tremendous torture and difficulties for this religion. And it's important to read these stories because you realize how much people sacrifice for only one reason, to hold on to this deen. That was all they were holding on to. And when you read